You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast on this fine morning. Hope you guys are having a nice commute to work. Thank you for tuning into your daily Broncos podcast, because true fans have no offseason over here, bringing you the best coverage of all things orange and blue to your smart devices wherever you're at daily. Want to thank everybody that's subscribed to the show, that's listening to it, wherever you're at, that's sharing it, constantly retweeting it. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody who's left a review on iTunes. If you haven't done it, go to iTunes right now, leave a review of the show, tell us why you love the show, and as well as leave your Twitter handle in there, and you'll be entered into every single contest giveaway, and I'll shoot you a follow back on Twitter. You can follow me at Cody Rourke NFL. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos, as well as a columnist over at predominantlyorange.com. Today's episode of the show is a jam-packed, action-featured episode of the show. We're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown, coaching hire, obviously yesterday, and hopefully another one by the end of today. Obviously, we're going to work things out. Going to explain that a little bit for you guys. Segments two, we're going to get back to our position review series over here, analyzing how the defensive line played in 2018. We're going to start off segment two as defensive tackles, and segment number three, we're going to get into the defensive ends and kind of take a look at which players surprised us with their level of play in the year 2018, which guys could be back, which guys stepped up and surprised us. A lot of digesting into that with our position review series that we're finalizing over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're on the defensive side of the ball. Next week, we'll transition over to the offensive side of the ball. Very excited about that, but hey, you know what? Let's waste no time. Let's jump right into it. We're going to get into the daily Broncos rundown over here. And earlier this week, there's a lot of news. We didn't get really a chance to talk about it, but John Elway sat down with Peter King in a one-on-one interview and kind of went through the reflection of the last 2 years of the Broncos seasons and really kind of just said, you know, he was wrong on the hire for Vance Joseph, and he didn't want it to come out and be this kind of piece that really, he didn't want to bash Vance Joseph. You know, he says Vance Joseph's a great man. He's a great coach. Unfortunately, you know, they were just wrong on the hire. They rushed into that interview. They kind of went in based on the assumption of, you know, the year they hired Gary Kubiak in 2015 to be the head coach. Vance Joseph got an interview and they kind of went in based off that. And so really things just kind of fell apart from there. They didn't cross all their T's, dot their I's, and it came back to bite them in the butt. Obviously 2 years in a row going, you know, 11-21 in two seasons. That's not the standard that the Broncos had envisioned for their organization. So John Elway came out and said, you know, we were wrong on the hire. And he also gave a little bit of insight on Case Keenum. He said, you know, when looking at Case Keenum's situation, him coming in, and you know, when Gary Kubiak left for the Vikings, you know, that was Case Keenum's essentially biggest supporter inside the organization, and really John Elway kind of described the Case Keenum move as, you know, for us, you know, this is really just a short-term fix. We have to go in and we have to find a guy that we can develop that can be our guy at the quarterback position for years and years to come. That's a hard art in the National Football League, and the Broncos are experiencing. I go back to quarterback history. You know, you had John Elway. After that, you had Brian Griese. You know, after that, you were, you know, we were blessed with Jake Plummer for a couple of seasons. And then after that, you had Jay Cutler, you had Kyle Orton, then you had Tim Tebow. Then we were blessed another 4 or 5 years with Peyton Manning, you know, and now the Broncos are kind of in that struggle. They had Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, and, you know, there were struggles there. Case Keenum, his struggles were somewhat similar to what Trevor Siemian had experienced. The Broncos had to find a way to continue to upgrade, and they're going to be looking at that in free agency draft, whatever option they can to get an upgrade at that position. And whether or not this is Case Keenum's last year based on how he performs well, lights it up, he'll have some more time. Absolutely. But they want to develop a guy behind him. They want to develop a guy to be the key for the future at quarterback, and that's going to be huge for the Broncos. They absolutely have to do that. Other news around our daily Broncos rundown, the Broncos made an official hire to the coaching staff. Brandon Staley was hired yesterday to coach the outside linebackers with the Denver Broncos, and Staley worked under Vic Fangio in Chicago. He coached Khalil Mack, who had 12.5 sacks last season, and you know he's going to be a guy that's going to be very hands-on with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. And when we talk about the outside linebacker position, and you know Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, they worked a lot of last season with not only D-line coach Bill Collar, but also Reggie Herring will be coaching inside linebackers for the Broncos. You have to wonder, will Bradley Chubb and will Von Miller still have the option, the ability to go work and get some D-line work as well as some outside linebacker work? I feel as if, based on how they played last year, I would be surprised if they weren't allowed to do that in some facet. And we got to talk about it too. Obviously, the hiring a couple days ago of Mike Munchak on offensive line. You know, when you think about those battle in the trenches between that O-line and D-line in training camp, it's going to be fun to watch. That's one thing I'm going to look forward to. And I'll be there for training camp, giving you all the latest Broncos coverage that we can alongside everybody else. It's going to be a very, very fun thing here. But also some other coaching news for the Broncos. Ed Donatell, he interviewed with the Denver Broncos on Tuesday. And really, when you take a look at this, the Bears hired Chuck Pagano to be their defensive coordinator. The Bears want to keep Ed Donatell as their defensive backs coach. Really, when you take a look at the situation, more than likely, this move suggests that Ed Donatell will be named, you know, hopefully by today, by the end of today, or even maybe tomorrow. I'd anticipate probably we're going to hear about it today, this afternoon. He'll be announced as the secondary coach for the Broncos and maybe be the titled defensive coordinator for the defense. And a little bit of history about Donatell. He coached in the Broncos secondary back in 1995 all the way through 1999. Two Super Bowl, obviously championships there for him. He's coached the likes of Champ Bailey. He's coached the likes of Ray Crockett. He's coached the likes of Steve Atwater. It'd be kind of cool if he gets to coach Chris Harris Jr. You know, his last stint with the Denver Broncos was towards the end of that McDaniels era back in 2010. He's been with Vic Fangio ever since, from San Francisco to Chicago, and more than likely going to look like a reunion in Denver for them. So that's going to be a huge, huge thing that we're going to keep you posted with as well. And obviously, we're still waiting word on the Broncos offensive coordinator position, Rich Scangarello. That's still up in the air, getting permission to interview. More than likely, we'll find out by the end of the week whether or not he will be the offensive coordinator. But as of right now, he's the clear-cut candidate. He's the only guy the Broncos have planned to interview. So that's kind of telling you that they're really focused on him being their guy. And you know, we'll be surprised. I'll let you guys know when I find out more. But that'll do it for our segment number one, our daily Broncos rundown. We're going to get into segment number two here in a little bit. Cameron and I, we're going to talk about the position review series for the defensive line, the D tackles, and the defensive ends. But before we get into that, I want to remind you guys to go check out Adam Matez and Locked On Nuggets. They do a great job of coverage from the panel of Denver Stiffs down there. You know, when Adam's out, you have great guys like Brennan and TJ McBride jumping in to do the show and giving you some really good insight on what's going on with the Nuggets, where their success is coming from as the number one seed in the West. They had a very epic matchup with the Golden State Warriors yesterday. Obviously, check out the latest episode of Locked On Nuggets to hear the recap of the Nuggets and the Warriors at the Pepsi Center last night. Check them out, Locked On Nuggets. Diving into our position review series here, we're taking a look at the Broncos' defensive line and how they performed in the year 2018. And we're going to start it off first off and foremost with the men in the middle, the one techniques, the two eyes, the two techniques, the zero techniques, head up. These guys are the, you know, the guys that really create wedges in a 3-4 defense. They had to be able to kind of cause commotion in the middle. They have to be disruptors. And these guys, I say, essentially for the most part, were disruptors. However, I felt as if with Domantopeko, the first guy we're going to talk about here, it almost seems like he didn't have the year this year defensively in terms of production-wise that he had the year prior in 2017, which was arguably one of the worst seasons in Broncos history. I mean, they have that big game against the Cowboys where, I mean, he's everywhere stopping Ezekiel Elliott, and we didn't really see too much noise from him this year. And I think a lot of situations, you know, he wasn't in on every down this year than what we saw from him last year. He started in every single game. I'd say, being at his age, being a veteran, also an unrestricted free agent, the Broncos, he wants to return to Denver. We talked about it in yesterday's show, but, you know, he didn't have that much of a production that he had in 2017 in terms of him being on the field all the time. I mean, starting 16 games, you know, finishing the year with 32 total tackles and only half a sack. I just don't know what it was. And I don't know if it was because the Broncos really just used him to kind of solidify the interior, but we didn't see a lot of pressure being generated from Domantopeko despite him getting three quarterback hits.
You know, Domantopeko, as you say, he's been one of those valuable pieces of the Denver Broncos defensive line. And he's obviously one of those key components that the Broncos should re-sign. Now, Domantopeko, you know, as you alluded to, Cody, I mean, Domantopeko, he sort of was like struggling playing, but maybe not struggling. It was just he was struggling, but I mean, at the beginning point of the season, he was very strong. I mean, he was successful. He was generating a lot of a lot of pressures, but you know, in grand scheme of things, and as far as a full season, maybe just the wear and tear of a long season maybe wore on Domantas Pekka. But I felt like with the Domantas Pekka thing, that it was just an emergence of a few other players. But the one, I guess the one constantly remained with Domantas Pekka was his run defense in a few situations. So that was one of the key constants, I guess, with Domantas. But yes, it is concerning. And, you know, usually when you go up there in age, you know, you start to question a few of those things. So that, I don't think that they're large question marks in the grand scheme of things, because I still think that value with Domantas, you know, going forward, and the Broncos should absolutely consider re-signing him. I mean, we outlined in the previous episode as to who could potentially be up for a re-signing or free agents as a potential re-sign. So Domantas Pekka, while the question marks were there, he's definitely still a guy that you would still want to take a flyer on, especially in Vic Fangio's defense.
Absolutely. And I think, too, also when we take a look at, you know, a 3-4 scheme, you want to have a guy that can eat up the interior, whether you play a 1-tech, a 0-tech, a 2-eye, or even a 2-technique head up on the guard. You have to, you know, have to be able to do a lot of different things. And you can also move around to a 3-technique. It really just depends on the alignment that the offensive formation comes out, whether they come out unbalanced or, you know, they come out too tight in sets. A lot of these things dictate how a defensive nose tackle will align, which we'll get into another guy who really kind of played that position for the Broncos. We saw multiple guys play it. You know, Shelby Harris played that position this year as well. Played in all 16 games, didn't start. He obviously that key interception against Ben Roethlisberger. He had 1.5 sacks, and he came up big when needed. He didn't have the year he had the year before where he had 5.5 sacks, but Shelby Harris also finished the year 39 tackles and 7 quarterback hits this year. He was able to generate pressure there, and really another guy too, Zach Kerr. You know, Zach Kerr, another guy, was a role player for the Broncos this year, played in all 16 games, was able to get his hand up and bat down, you know, a pass or two here or there, 1.5 sacks this season. You know, and I think it was in the Arizona game where he got in. But you know, also another guy finishing with 33 tackles on the year. So you look at Shelby Harris, you look at Pekka, you look at Zach Kerr, and there's almost like a third of the production there combined between the three of them, both in the 30 ranges for tackles. You know, obviously 3 quarterback hits as well. So you have to wonder, are the Broncos looking at bringing in a nose guard or a nose tackle in free agency? Or are they looking at drafting a guy because they're in the top 10? They could trade up. Do they bring in a guy that can absolutely just wreak havoc? I mean, we look at what Aaron Donald has done from a defensive tackle position. He's been able to cause havoc, 20.5 sacks this season. The Broncos need a guy like that, in all honest opinion. They need a guy that's not only going to take up 2 gaps, but he's also going to be able to make things happen. I think that's what the Broncos have to do. So yeah, I think that's something we got to take a look at. Obviously, with this position review series, the Broncos necessarily, that they got enough out of these defensive linemen. Now, I don't know if they got everything that they absolutely needed from them, but they got enough production, but they got to have more in that position in 2019. I think we're going to see that with Vic Fangio, but we're going to jump into segment 3 coming up here in just a second. But before we jump into that, got to tell you guys about what the Locked On Podcast Network is doing with a Locked On NFL branch on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Locked On NFL Net. On Twitter, you get every single Locked On NFL host, local experts covering their local teams respectively on one single feed on Twitter. You have the AFC, NFC championship games this weekend. All the hosts around the network are going to be tweeting it, watching the game, giving analysis. Very great insight. A lot of amazing people in that as well. And on Instagram, anytime there's a big story, whoever wins the NFC or AFC championship, guess what? You get bite-sized clippings of the biggest stories on your stories, and you get the longer cuts of that on your Instagram feed today. Follow Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram today. And when we get into the subject of defensive ends in the National Football League, I felt as if the Broncos had upgraded quite a bit. I was very pleased with what I saw from the defensive end position. I know we came into it from the preseason. We were a little concerned with Derek Wolf. You know, just a couple of errors the Broncos really had in getting gashed in the run. You know, you saw it in the Vikings game preseason. You saw it in the Bears game preseason. Not necessarily. Actually, we didn't see it in the Bears game. I forgot. We saw it in a different game there. But the Vikings game was a cause for concern, and it would later on come back to bite the Broncos in the regular season against the Jets and also against the Rams, teams trying to find a way to exploit the Broncos' run defense. That was kind of a concern. But overall, the defensive end position for the Broncos' defense was one of the most solidified positions this year. I felt overall contain was pretty good, gap integrity. We saw, you know, I think ferociousness from Derek Wolfe, a guy who also battled injuries, rib injuries, leg injuries. He was a guy that battled. Derek Wolfe, let's start off with him. 16 games, he played in all games this year. He had that interception, which, you know, not too long ago was a deflected pass against the New York Jets. When that pops up in the air, defensive lineman comes down with the football. Good things happen. He was also another guy that got his hand up a lot and batted some balls down. 6 pass deflections this season for him. And let's compare that to Chris Harris Jr., who had 10 this year. Bradley Roby had 12 pass deflections. Derek Wolfe had half of that as a defensive lineman. So, you know, really, you know, you got ESPN's Booger McFarland talking about defensive linemen. They're not paid to get their hands up and deflect passes. Well, guess what? I think it also pays when it leads to interceptions. We saw plenty of that this year when, you know, around the National Football League. D linemen deflecting passes, it leads to an interception. That's huge. But Derek Wolfe also 1.5 sacks. We didn't really see kind of the nature of Derek Wolfe getting to the quarterback this year that we used to see from him. And I think more so with scheme. I don't necessarily think it's age with him. You know, the Broncos have some decisions to make. I'd like to see them keep him in Denver. You know, he's only 28 years old, but, you know, 43 tackles this year. He really solidified the defensive edge and also in that C-gap area where he was really responsible for. I felt he did a very good job. And really, Cam, you call him baby Derek Wolfe, but his counterpart did just as well, and that's Adam Gotsis. Started 12 games out of 16, and, you know, he had 3 sacks this year. He kind of emerged and came into his own with 6 pass deflections as well and 38 total tackles, 7 quarterback hits this year. You know, I was very impressed with Adam Gotsis. To be honest with you, he was one of my biggest surprise players in 2018.
I think for Adam Gotsis, like you said, I call him baby Derek Wolfe. I don't call him baby Derek Wolfe for nothing. I mean, when you see him in camp, I don't know, Cody, you went to training camp also, but when you see him in training camp, it's almost like you get really mesmerized just how thick he is. I mean, he is chiseled to the bone. And the fact that, you know, he had the 1 year where he's battling the injury that he came off of from Georgia Tech. And then, you know, Bill Collar put him on a blender, on a verbal blender, basically just sort of, you know, putting him on notice and telling him to play better. And if he doesn't, well, he's going to be put, you know, point blank. Who knows if he'll be here next year, basically. And that's kind of what he was hinting at. And then the last 2 seasons, I mean, people forget how good he was last year. I mean, here's a guy, Adam Gotsis, who could end up being one of the key players of that defensive line that might benefit maybe the most under Vic Fangio. I mean, we talk Derek Wolfe and Shelby Harris, and, you know, Shelby Harris certainly has not been talked about as far as with the addition of Vic Fangio, but Adam Gotsis, man, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that is pure relentless energy, a guy that has no stop on his motor. He is a guy that is going to get to the quarterback, get to the running back. It's a 5-yard gain, 6-yard gain. I mean, he does not have a stop button. He's like the best kind of Luis Mendoza football player, where you're going to use a Mighty Ducks analogy. I mean, he is the guy, you know, he does not have a stop on his motor. And I think the future is so bright for this kid.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what direction the team decides to go in 2019 with their defensive line. You have Bill Collar returning. The offensive line is sure to look different under Mike Munchak. The philosophy in Denver, the culture, there's not going to be any cutting corners with the organization. It's going to be fundamental. It's going to be disciplined. I mean, Derek Wolfe's excited. Shelby Harris is excited. You have to wonder, you know, what else Vic Fangio and the Broncos have in store this offseason as we approach what we're being told as it's going to be a very aggressive offseason period between free agency and the NFL draft. The Broncos are going to be very, very active in that. And to be honest, you know, the moves that they made right now, I'm very excited to see what that will look like for them on the field in 2019. But we'll give you coverage over here continuously at the Locked On Broncos podcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, if you haven't left a review on iTunes, please go ahead and do that. We're very close to 100. We appreciate the feedback. Leave your Twitter handle. We'll shoot you a follow, and you'll be automatically entered into the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. We're also very close to 10K followers on Twitter. at Cody Rourke NFL jersey giveaway. I mean, you have a chance to win your favorite jersey from your favorite NFL player. Hopefully it's a Broncos fan that wins it, but guess what? We're giving it out to the NFL community. Any jersey, any player of your choice. Once we get to 10K, we're going to have a contest for it, and we're going to have one lucky winner of that as well. But, you know, you're automatically entered into that contest if you've left a review on iTunes with your Twitter handle. So guess what? Why wait? Go do it now, and we'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.